Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. We're a broker here at Daniels Trading, and we are now part of StoneX, which is formerly FC Stone. Work with speculators and hedgers, online trading, broker-assisted. We do managed funds. We also do some of the physical markets now, like gold and silver, if you're interested in that. If you're a client here and like anything that we're talking about today, feel free to give me a call. We can start doing stuff. If you already have positions with us, you want to add on and tweak it, give me a call. My number is 312-706-7610. If you are not a client and be interested in, you know, what it would be like having an account here, feel free to give us a call too. If you like the podcast and think someone else might like it, please send it along. It is free. Anyone to download and listen to on iTunes. And if you really like it, please give us a review. It's how people find us. Finally, if you want to check out the newsletter, Turner's Take, all you have to do is text the number 33777 33777 with the message Turner. Follow the instructions and you can check out my newsletter. All my contact information is at turnerstake.com and in the show notes. And you can also always go register and find the podcast at turnerstake.com too. So let's dive into it. Number one, we're going to get into the macros real fast. Two things are going on. One, COVID. Two, the election in the United States. With COVID, we are seeing prices spike. It is a concern for the economy. It is a concern for the markets. It's going up in the United States. It's going up in Europe. Europe is more of an issue right now, probably because they have higher population density. And, you know, they're trying to close down and do some lockdowns and shutdowns, and it's not going well. Doesn't seem like it's going very well in France. There's also some protests about it in other parts of Europe. Germany has announced they're going to do shutdowns here for the next couple of weeks. And hopefully they can get this under control. It is also an issue here in the United States. We're heading into flu season. We're heading into the season where you could start seeing cases on the rise. So, you know, we've seen a sell-off in the crude oil market. We saw RBOB and heating oil really come down on it. Stock market is coming down. There's concern about now demand for the grain markets. So we saw the grain markets got overheated anyways. You know, we're up $2 in soybeans in, 2 months, and $1 in corn in a month. So, you know, there are going to be pullbacks. There's going to be big corrections in those markets. And that's what we're seeing now. And we'll probably see some consolidation while we wait for what happens on the demand and supply side. So that's one thing to keep. Everyone's got to keep an eye on. Number two is the U.S. election. I don't think anyone has a good handle on who's going to win. Most people I talk to, and even in the news, don't really trust the polls after last time around. And, you know, the worst case scenario on Tuesday is we don't know who won, right? I mean, on Wednesday, Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning. Would even be just even worse if we had some kind of a Gore-Bush situation where, you know, we don't have something certified for weeks or a month, and it's got to go through the court process. So whichever way this goes, I think as far as the markets are concerned, they're going to want if there's a faster resolution, the better. If it doesn't, if we all come in on Wednesday and no one knows what happens, and it seems like it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair, could see some selling in the market too. So we've got the COVID thing going on, and we do have a potential for an unresolved election. If that is the case, it's going to be probably shoot first, ask questions later. So selling first, ask questions later. So as we head into the election, you probably end with the COVID probably not the best idea to be leveraged up to the gills, right? You know, maxing everything out. I think what we'll see is traders will reduce positions, reduce risk, and then for any big investments or big trades they have on, they'll probably just protect it. You know, if they're very long, they'll have some put protection in there for the short term. I was actually looking at some of the put options today for the stock market. They're expensive on the E-mini S&P, but you can find weekly options that aren't that bad that expire next Friday. And actually, that's for quite a few products. I've been looking at the weekly options for the grain markets too, and some of the monthlies in the livestock. But if we do get a big down day next week or a couple of them, you would think Treasuries, gold, and the dollar would hang in there as we get a risk-off environment. But hopefully that doesn't happen and we just get some jitters and we kind of go along the way. The stock market has been handling the COVID fears and the shutdown a little bit better. Earnings have come out and they've been actually pretty decent, so that'll probably help too. And that's where we are on the macro scene. So we're going to talk about the wheat market. I'm going to do our 2021 wheat. Originally, this was just going to be about 2021 wheat, but between the COVID spike and the election next week, kind of had to do this first. The next podcast will be Wednesday night. Hopefully we know who's going to be, if Trump is going to stay the president or if we'll have a new one in Biden. Hopefully that'll be known either way next time we have the podcast. So what I want to do tonight is 2021 wheat and where we think the market is going. I'm generally right now kind of neutral on the wheat market where prices are. There's two takeaways I have. One, right in the old crop, we are tight. And there's a good reason why wheat is, so Chicago is hanging around $6 and Kansas City can be in the low to mid fives. You know, there is tightness in the Ukraine and in Russia, and there's some production issues, and South America isn't having a great crop. And we are seeing more export demand come to the United States. And we have seen acres come down also for the United States in the wheat market. And what it's done is year after year help bring down the stock to usage levels. So we're going to talk about winter wheat and where we think we're going to be at the end of this marketing year, and then what about next marketing year. So the wheat we harvested in the spring will be for the 2021 marketing year. As far as the Chicago crop goes, we think, you know, ending stocks are going to be pretty close to where the USDA says. I think the last USDA report had ending stocks about 108 million for the Chicago contract, stock to usage 38%. I do think we'll see a little bit more demand for this the soft red winter wheat. Could see ending stocks be closer to 100, 105. So a stock to use till at 37, which is pretty consistent year over year from last year and this year. What I do think is going to happen though is what we planted this fall, what's going to be planted now for the 21-22 marketing year, because we will harvest that, let's say May, June, July, depending on where you are in the country and how the crop develops. That'll be for the 21-22 marketing year. Do expect acres to go up. I think, you know, for a while, soft red winter wheat acres have been coming down for a while. You know, this year it's going to be around 5.5 million acres. Last year was 6.1 million acres. I think we're going to start to make the turnaround and go back up to 6 million acres. And you put in a trend line yield there, and then all of a sudden, ending stocks aren't around 100 million anymore, with like about a 37 or 38% stock to usage, increasing the acres and having a trend line yield. And keeping exports and demand pretty constant year over year, all of a sudden ending stocks for that soft red winter wheat go up into like the mid 130s, and we have a stock to usage of 45%. Now, this is for the Chicago contract. So after years or a couple of years of being in the 30 percentile for the stock to usage, which has helped wheat rally when global stocks have gotten tight, I think what we're going to see here is a build again back in the ending stocks, and we will build ending stocks into Chicago. So, starting with the July contract, we do expect there's some price pressure. Now, here's the thing with wheat. You really don't know what the quality of the wheat contract of the wheat crop is until you get to the spring, until these things start to emerge. You can kind of guess, but it's not like corn and soybeans where you get, you emerge pretty fairly fast after planting, compared to wheat, obviously, definitely. And then you get the whole growing season for the good to excellent, and get all the pictures from the field, and by the time you harvest, you have a fair idea of where the crop is. That's not the way it works with wheat. You plant it in the fall, late fall. You plant, early winter, fall and late fall, and then what you're gonna, and you're not gonna know until the spring, until the stuff starts coming up, what kind of condition this wheat crop is gonna be in. So, from between now and then, we'll hold some certainty. If this crop looks good on the, on over 6 million acres, or actually, if this crop looks good on over 6 million acres, we'll, we're gonna definitely build the stock. So there is more of a bearish flavor to the soft red winter wheat when we get past July of 21. Hard red wheat's different. So for hard red wheat, we see acres staying the same and maybe even come down a little bit. And we're down from 1920. We're going to be probably around even, or maybe even a little bit down year over year from last year, from the 2021 crop, as we go into the 22, 20, 21, 22 marketing year. What's interesting about wheat is the way the plantings have worked is we're not planting enough to, basically, we're planting only 21.5 to 22.5 million acres a year of the hard red winter wheat, and with average yields, that's not enough to keep stocks the same. Like the stocks will naturally just draw themselves down around those levels. So if we have 21.5 million acres planted for the winter wheat that's going in the ground now, and an average yield, we'll probably have ending stocks under 300 million, and a stock to usage of 33%. What's going to be interesting, what's very interesting about that is 2 years ago, the 19/20 marketing year, we had ending stocks of 521 and a 63% stock to usage. Now, when think about this, hard red winter wheat for the 19/20 marketing year with a 63 stock to usage, Chicago wheat had a stock to usage of 35%. And over the past year or two, as the hard red winter wheat stock to usage was much higher than the Chicago, we've seen Kansas City much lower to Chicago. And for all the wheat traders out there, anyone who knows the wheat market, it's usually Kansas City that's over Chicago by 30 or 60 cents. Meanwhile, we've been seeing Kansas City under Chicago by 30 or 60 cents. We see next year of the year it flipping back to being the more historical normal prices of Kansas City over Chicago. We see ending stocks go, which were about 521 a couple of seasons ago, to 1920. We can see the 21, 22 under 300 million, putting stock to usage in the mid 30s. So now what we're gonna, it's actually gonna flip. Like this past crop marketing year, the one that we're in right now, we saw stock to use probably, Kansas City hard red winter wheat in the mid to low 40s for stock to usage with, the Chicago being the mid 35s. That's gonna flip. We see the Chicago being more the mid 40s and the hard red winter going into the mid 30s. To me, that means we go back to parity at some point in the 21 and 22 futures contracts, and maybe even depending on how things go with demand, we can maybe even be again 10, 20, 30 cents over in the Kansas City. So that as now that's the spreads. If we do get these, I do think we could see it, still we could still stay high, because when we look at corn and soybeans, we still expect the corn and soybean acres to fight for acres, and we don't see a glut of grain coming onto the market anytime soon. Like South America is going to be in a strong La Nina year, and that's most likely going to keep production below trend, and the United States could be dry as we head into the spring and some of the weather expectations there too. So we're not, calling for some kind of like drought of 12, But just the way things are looking, you know, we're not going to have bumper busting, bin busting crops all around the world either. So I can see actually Kansas City wheat and Chicago flipping, where instead of, you know, Kansas City being right now is in the low to mid fives, I could see Kansas City being at the $6 level or around that 556, and I can see Chicago going from 6 to 5, right? Just the total reversal of those two prices. So that's what we're looking at, and that's kind of where we see the market heading here for the wheat. Wheat is also going to be a follower too. It has been the leader recently, which is a little bit different. But we also see wheat going back to a follower. And what's really interesting here with wheat prices is when I talk to farmers, it makes sense for them to grow wheat. We are expecting more double crop wheat and beans going forward. That's going to probably help soybean acres come up a little bit as wheat acres. It'll be interesting to see, do wheat acres get added to the existing bean acres? Do beans get added to the existing wheat, or are the, you know, we probably could pull 10 or 15 million acres out of that haven't been in production for a while, and how many of those acres become double crop acres? And that's something that we can take, we'll be definitely taking a look to in the future. So that's going to be our wheat wrap up. It has more of a range bound flavor to it, more of a follower going forward, and well, corn and soybeans will probably pretty much be the leaders in that sector. So next week, what we're going to do, we'll talk about the election. Hopefully there's a winner. Hopefully the COVID situation is a little bit better known in Europe, and we're going to talk about the mix of all the acres in the United States, how we may see it get divided up, and then how many acres we expect to come back into production. So, everyone have a great Halloween. Go out and vote and be safe out there. And I will talk to everyone on probably Wednesday night. Good luck, everyone. Talk to you later. Bye.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.